Conference Center in Salt Lake City. This is Stories from General Conference on the Mormon Channel from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. One of our most powerful tools we have is the power of prayer. Through prayer, we can communicate with Heavenly Father directly. He wants us to bring our problems to Him. He wants to share in our joys and triumphs and to comfort us when we suffer. Whenever we are in need, we can call upon our Heavenly Father. During the General Priesthood session of the April 1989 General Conference, Elder Richard G. Scott told a story of two missionaries relying on the Lord through prayer.
Two missionaries who were aflame spiritually had spent an active day establishing a branch of the church in a remote village. At 5:30 that morning, they had taught a family before the husband left for the fields. Later, they had struggled to plaster the adobe walls to keep out blood-sucking insects. During the week, they had laid a cement floor and hung a 5-gallon can with a shower head to keep clean. They'd begun a sanitation facility and put new gravel and sand in their water filter. For part of the day, they'd worked beside men in the fields to later teach them. They were exhausted and ready for a welcome rest. There came an anxious knock at the crude wooden door. A small girl was crying. She had been running and was gasping for air. They struggled to piece together her message delivered amid sobs and a torrent of words. Her father had suffered a severe head injury while riding his donkey in the darkness. She knew he would die unless the elders saved his life. Men of the village were at this moment carrying him to the missionaries. She pled for her father's life, then ran to help him. The seriousness of their desperate situation began to engulf them. They were in a remote village with no doctors or medical facilities. There were no telephones. The only means of communication was a rough road up a riverbed, and they had no vehicle. The people of the valley trusted them. They were not trained in medicine. They did not know how to care for a serious head wound. But they knew someone who did. They knelt in prayer and explained their problem to an understanding Father in heaven. They pled for guidance, realizing that they could not save a life without His help. They felt impressed that the wound should be cleansed, closed, and the man given a blessing. One companion asked, "How will he stand the pain? How can we cleanse the wound and bless him when he's in such suffering?" They knelt again and explained to their father, "We have no medicine. We have no anesthetic. Please help us to know what to do. Please bless him, Father." As they arose, friends arrived with the injured man. Even in the subdued candlelight, they could see he had been severely hurt. He was suffering greatly. As they began to cleanse the wound, a very unusual thing occurred. He fell asleep. Carefully, anxiously, they finished the cleansing, closed the wound, and provided a makeshift bandage. As they laid their hands on his head to bless him, he awoke peacefully. Their prayer had been answered, and his life saved. The trust of the people increased, and a branch of the church flourished. The missionaries were able to save a life because they trusted the Lord. They knew how to pray with faith for help with a problem they could not resolve themselves. Because they were obedient to the Lord trusted them and answered their prayer. They had learned how to recognize the answer when it came as a quiet prompting of the Spirit. You have that same help available to you as you live for it.
When we pray, it demonstrates our determination to serve the Lord. President Thomas S. Monson, during the October 1986 General Priesthood Session, told a story of a determined seaman turning to the Lord.
The great World War II was in progress at that time, and in the closing months of that war, I enlisted in the United States Navy. I had never been away from home before. In the Navy, I saw acts of courage and deeds of valor. But I remember one simple act of courage that has stayed with me through the years. It was personified by a young seaman, not of our faith, who every night, the only one of 250 men in the company, would kneel down by the side of his bunk and, amidst the mocking and the laughter of some shipmates, would offer his prayer to his Heavenly Father aloud on bended knee. He never faltered. He never failed. He had courage. And I remember that courage.
Just like the committed sailor, we can pray for protection. During the April 1988 General Conference, Elder Glenn L. Rudd of the 70 told a touching experience of the faith and prayers of a young boy.
A member of the Council of the Twelve came to my office and told me a beautiful, touching experience that had happened to him that day. He had gone to the old Deseret gym to enjoy a steam bath for a while. As he sat there in the heavy steam, he heard the door open and looked upward toward the door to see who was entering. He could not see anyone, but had a feeling someone else was there in the room with him. After a few minutes, he saw a young primary age boy, about 8 or 9 years old, who had seated himself 2 or 3 feet away. The boy gradually slid closer to the apostle. And they finally said hello to each other. Then the boy moved even closer until he could look up into the face of the church leader. The little boy said, "Mister, I think I know who you are." The apostle said, "Who am I?" The boy said, "I think you are one of the apostles of the church. I think you are the one who travels all over the ocean in big boats and little boats and all kinds of airplanes. And you are the one who never gets sick or hurt in any wrecks." The apostle acknowledged that he was the one who was having those great experiences. The boy then said to him, "Do you know why it is that you don't ever get killed or get hurt?" The apostle said, "No. Why is that?" The little primary boy said, "That's because I pray for you." What a touching, lovely expression of faith in a simple, wonderful way. This experience happened 40 years ago, but I think of it frequently. There is far more power in simple prayer than many of us think possible.
Children have a pure, simple faith. Their prayers are filled with trust in the Lord and His will. We should encourage our children to pray often. Elder Robert D. Hales, during the Saturday morning session of the October 1988 General Conference, also told a story of the simple, faithful prayer of a child.
What about a little boy named Josh, who was having trouble with nightmares that were frightening him? He asked his father if he would kneel down and have prayer with him, to ask Heavenly Father to stop the dreams and nightmares. Josh opened his prayer by thanking Heavenly Father for the blessings that were his. He then asked his Heavenly Father to have the nightmares stop, that he might have a confirmation of the feelings during the prayer. He said no more. He waited about a minute, said thank you, and closed the prayer. He had had his confirmation and comfort that his prayers would be answered, that he would not have any more nightmares. What an important lesson for a young man to learn.
This is Stories from General Conference on the Mormon Channel from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Today's episode is about the power of prayer. During the April 1991 General Conference, Elder M. Russell Ballard also shared an experience of the faithful prayer of a child.
One of our grandsons, when he was 5 years old, became confused when his family moved into a new ward. He thought the meetings were over and went outside. When he realized that he was alone and could not find the family nor their car, he knelt down and prayed for help. Just a few minutes later, one of the counselors in the primary presidency came out and asked if he was lost. a primary teacher had called to her from the door of the classroom and said that someone was missing. The teacher asked the counselor to find out who it was. The counselor felt impressed to look outside and went straight to our grandson. Later, the teacher and the counselor both commented on how strong their impressions were that he needed help. We were thankful that his parents and primary teachers had taught him that Heavenly Father loves him and taught him to always pray for help.
The best way to teach our children to pray is to pray with them. In the Book of Mormon, Jesus commanded, "Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed." 3 Nephi chapter 18, verse 21. President Monson, during his talk for the Sunday morning session of the October 1988 General Conference, told a story of the effects of regular family prayer.
This Friday, my wife Frances and I will have been married 40 years. We were married in the beautiful Salt Lake Temple by a saintly man, Brother Benjamin L. Bowring. He said to us that morning, "I would like to provide you young people a formula which, if you follow, you shall not have a misunderstanding that will last beyond one day." He said, "Every night kneel down by the side of your bed. One night, Brother Monson, you offer the prayer. Then, turning to my companion, the next night you offer the prayer aloud on bended knee. And any misunderstanding that develops during the day will vanish as you pray." This conference marks 25 years from the time I was called to serve in the Council of the Twelve. President David O. McKay, who visited with me on that occasion, asked about my family. I told him of this little formula, how it had worked for us. He sat back in that large leather chair of his and, with a broad smile on his face, said, "Why, Brother Monson, the same formula has worked for my wife and me all of our married lives. I thought we had an exclusive on it." Prayer is the passport to spiritual power.
In the Sunday afternoon session of the April 1991 General Conference, Sister Jeanette C. Hales told a story about establishing the righteous pattern of prayer in our homes.
Heavenly Father tells us in the Doctrine and Covenants, "I will give unto you a pattern in all things, that ye may not be deceived." To avoid deception, we should watch for patterns of righteousness in our lives. I would like to mention three: prayer, scripture study, and service to others. When we have learned the importance of prayer, this habit of daily prayer can be reproduced in the lives of others by teaching and good example. My youngest daughter said that prayer became more meaningful to her as she watched her older sister kneel by the bed at night when she thought others were asleep. As a student at BYU, I remember kneeling in prayer with eight roommates each morning at 6:30 and then having breakfast together. Years later, if we missed having prayer with our children, I was sure my old roommates would be concerned. What a great pattern they set for me. Is that happening in homes and apartments today? A few months ago, I was kneeling in prayer with a young family in Albuquerque. I had a wonderful, warm feeling as I opened my eyes and looked around that circle. It was as if I imagined families in homes throughout the world having that same experience. Hopefully, if the pattern of prayer is established in our homes, individual family members will help reproduce that pattern for others, as my roommates did for me.
Prayer is most powerful when it's combined with our own efforts. During the April 1989 priesthood session of General Conference, President Monson talked about this powerful combination.
Some years back, when David Kennedy was appointed as Secretary of the Treasury, a reporter attempted to entrap him with the question, "Mr. Kennedy, do you believe in prayer?" The response was, "I do." Then the clever question, "Mr. Kennedy, do you pray?" Came the firm reply, I believe in prayer, and I pray. Just this past month, a mammoth 747 jetliner, while flying over the Pacific, sustained a gigantic tear in its side, ejecting 9 passengers to their deaths and threatening the lives of all. When the pilot, Captain David Cronin, was interviewed, having brought the craft safely back to Honolulu, he was asked, "What did you do when the plane ripped open? How did you cope?" Captain Cronin replied, "I prayed, then went to work." My brethren, this is an inspired plan for each of us. Pray, then go to work.
When our desires are pure, the Lord will bless us. During the Saturday afternoon session of the April 1991 conference, Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles told a story of the righteous prayers of a mother in Russia.
In a world scarred by scourges of tyranny and war, many of its inhabitants earnestly pray for inner peace. For example, not long ago, a beautiful young mother named Svetlana developed an intense desire to obtain a Bible. But in her city of Leningrad, a Bible was very rare and expensive. Frequently and fervently, she prayed for a Bible. Ultimately, she and her husband were impressed to travel with her small child to Helsinki, Finland, with that hope in mind. There, one day, while walking in a park, she stumbled across an object buried under the cover of autumn leaves. She picked it up and found it to be a Bible, written in the Russian language. Excitedly, she recounted the story of this great discovery to another mother who was also in the park with her youngster. The second mother rejoiced with Svetlana and added, "Would you like to have another book about Jesus Christ?" Svetlana, of course, answered in the affirmative. The other mother provided Svetlana with a copy of a Russian language edition of the Book of Mormon and invited the family to church. She eagerly embraced the teachings of the missionaries and shortly thereafter joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Then they returned to their home, where they have helped pioneer the work in the Leningrad branch of the church. Her experience typifies this promise of the Savior to those who seek Him. "Thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more."
The Lord may not always answer our prayers in the way we want. In the Saturday afternoon session of the April 1987 conference, Elder Boyd K. Packer told a story of the combined prayers of the church and the wisdom of the Lord.
In the last session of October conference, Elder A. Theodore Tuttle gave a touching and inspiring sermon on faith. He spoke from the heart, with scriptures in hand, without a prepared text. When he concluded, President Hinckley, who conducted that session, said, "I should perhaps be guilty of an indiscretion, but I think I will risk it, and say that Brother Tuttle has been seriously ill. He needs our faith, the faith of which he has spoken. It will be appreciated if those who have listened to him across the church would plead with our Father in heaven in the kind of faith which he has described in his behalf." President Ezra Taft Benson, who was the concluding speaker, endorsed what President Hinckley had said and appealed himself for fasting and prayers in faith for the recovery of Brother Tuttle. But Brother Tuttle did not recover. He died 7 weeks later. Now, lest there be one whose faith was shaken, believing prayers were not answered, or lest there be one who is puzzled that the prophet himself could plead for the entire church to fast and pray for Brother Tuttle to live, and yet he died, I will tell you of an experience. I had intended to tell this at his funeral, but my feelings were too tender that day to speak of it. One Sunday, when Brother Tuttle was confined mostly to his bed, I spent a few hours with him while Marnay and the family went to church. He was deeply moved by the outpouring of love from across the world. Each letter extended prayers of faith for his recovery. Many of the messages came from South America, where the Tuttle family had labored for so many years. That day, we reviewed his life, beginning with his birth in Manti, Utah, to an ordinary Latter-day Saint couple. We talked of his father, whom I knew, and of his mother, a faithful temple worker. He talked of his mission, his college days, his marriage to Marnie Whitaker, and of his heroic service in the Marines. Then we relived our days teaching seminary in Brigham City, supervising the seminaries and institutes of religion. He talked of his seven faithful children and a flock of grandchildren whom he always described as the best kids in the world. He spoke of his call to the First Quorum of 70 and the assignments that followed. Soon the Tuttle family was called to South America. They were hardly settled back home when the brethren interviewed him about returning. Others could say, "Of course, if you should call us, we would go." But not him nor Marnay, for they had made covenants. Without complaint, he and his wife and family went back time after time for a total of 7 years, no matter that he had never recovered from serious physical troubles, which began on his first assignment there. That day, Brother Tuttle spoke tenderly of the humble people of Latin America. They who have so little had greatly blessed his life. He insisted that he did not deserve more blessings, nor did he need them. Others needed them more. And then he told me this: "I talked to the Lord about those prayers for my recovery. I asked if the blessings were mine to do with as I pleased. If that could be so, I told the Lord that I wanted him to take them back from me and give them to those who needed them more. He said, I begged the Lord to take back those blessings and give them to others. Brother Tuttle wanted those blessings from our prayers for those struggling souls who most of us hardly remember, but whom he could not forget. The scriptures teach that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can you not believe that the Lord may favor the pleadings of this saintly man above our own appeal for his recovery? We do not know all things, but is it wrong to suppose that our prayers were not in vain at all? Who among us would dare to say that humble folk here and there across the continent of South America will not receive unexpected blessings passed on to them from this man who was without guile? May not lofty purposes such as this be worked out in our lives if we are submissive? Now, I know that skeptics will ridicule such things, but I, for one, am content to believe that our prayers were accepted and recorded and redirected to those whose hands hang down in despair, just as Brother Tuttle requested. In any case, ought we not to conclude all our prayers with, "Let thy will, O Lord, be done"? During his last weeks, he was always pleasant, invariably comforting those who came to comfort him. I was present when he called his doctors to his bedside, thanked each one with a smile for the care that he had received. He was determined to live through Thanksgiving Day, lest his passing cast a shadow of sorrow upon his family on that holiday and future years. That evening, he saw each of his children, called those who were away, expressed his love and blessings, and bade them farewell. It was very late at night when they reached Clary, who lives in Alaska, but his parting must be delayed until that was done. Early the next morning, without resistance, with a spirit of quiet anticipation, he slipped away. At that moment, there came into that room a spirit of peace that surpasseth understanding.
Sometimes the Lord answers our prayers in unexpected ways. President Monson, during his October 1987 priesthood session address, told a story from the life of President Marion G. Romney.
At the funeral services for the mother of President Marion G. Romney, held years ago in Provo, Utah, John K. Edmund was the speaker. He told how Brother Romney's father and mother were living in old Mexico in poverty, how the elder Brother Romney was called on a mission, just as was the father of President Benson, to leave behind his wife and family. He had no means of support, but he went. Then Brother Edmonds continued, "One day Sister Romney had written a letter to her dear husband. She missed him so, but she didn't even have a stamp to mail the letter. She got down upon her knees and then went out into the garden, even in the orchard, to think about things. And as she kicked the autumn leaves back and forth, she saw a shiny object on the ground. And as she picked it up, it was a coin, the exact amount to provide the postage stamps whereby she could communicate with her husband. The letter had been written, and now through the help of God, the stamps could be provided, and the letter could be on its way."
Sometimes the blessings that we receive in answer to our prayers are much more than we even asked for. Our Heavenly Father delights in blessing us. Elder Joseph B. Worthlin, in his April 1987 General Conference address, told a story of the Lord's answer to a mission president's fervent prayers.
Some years ago, President Roy A. Welker of the German-Austrian Mission, one of the great presidents of the church, needed to assign a missionary to labor in Salzburg, Austria, to solve a problem in the branch there. 8 new missionaries were soon to arrive in the mission. He prayed that one of them would have the proper visa and currency to labor in that country of Austria. He continued to pray and waited 2 weeks for an answer. The night before the 8 arrived, the Spirit of the Lord whispered to the president the name of the missionary who should be assigned to Salzburg. The one whose name he received was the one who had the proper credentials to go to Austria. I was that elder. The president's patience not only helped solve a problem in the branch, but it also blessed me and our family in a way that I never could have foreseen. Shortly after I arrived in Salzburg, that part of the German-Austrian mission was changed into the Swiss-Austrian mission. Later, I was transferred to Zurich, Switzerland, where I met Brother Julius Billiter, a warm and friendly member who was a genealogist. He was acquainted with the genealogical records of my progenitors. He researched the names of 6,000 of my ancestors, for whom temple work later was completed.
Prayer can also act as a protection from evil. Elder Richard G. Scott, during his April 1989 conference address, told of the prayer of 2 missionaries in the face of danger.
2 young missionaries were walking down a dusty road. In their hands, they carried the scriptures, and in each heart burned a desire to share truth. They saw on the ridge of a hill a group of horsemen laughing and pointing toward them. They sensed they were in severe danger. Each prayed for help as a huge man on a powerful horse galloped down the hill toward them. His menacing whip slashed the air and cracked threateningly. He thundered closer. The sneer on his face communicated his cruel intent to harm them. Suddenly, he reined in his horse, paused, whirled, and disappeared down the valley. These elders trusted in the Lord and were living worthily. He therefore could protect them against danger they were helpless to avoid. Your determination to live righteously will make it possible for you to be protected from the dangers that surround you.
When Jesus Christ was visiting the Nephites, he commanded them that they should not cease to pray in their hearts. 3 Nephi chapter 20, verse 1. In the October 1990 General Priesthood Session, President Monson told a story of the powerful effect of even a silent prayer.
Spiritual strength frequently comes through selfless service. Some years ago, I visited the California Mission where I interviewed a young missionary from Georgia. I recall saying to him, "Elder, do you send a letter to your mother and father every week?" He replied, "Yes, Brother Monson." Then I asked, "Do you enjoy receiving their letters?" He didn't answer. At length, I inquired, "When was the last time you had a letter from home?" With a quavering voice, he responded, "I've never had a letter from home. Father's just a deacon, and mother's not a member of the church. They pleaded with me not to come. They said that if I left on a mission, they would not be writing to me. Brother Monson, what shall I do?" I offered a silent prayer to my Heavenly Father. "What shall I tell this young servant of thine, who has sacrificed everything to serve thee?" And the inspiration came. I said, "Elder, you send a letter home to your mother and father every week of your mission. Tell them what you're doing. Tell them how much you love them. And then you bear your testimony to them." He asked, "Will they then write to me?" I responded, "Then they will write to you." We parted. I went on my way. Months later, I was attending a state conference in Southern California when a young man came up to me and said, "Brother Monson, do you remember me? I'm the young missionary who had not received a letter from my mother or my father during my first 9 months in the mission field. I'm the one to whom you promised, 'Send a letter home every week, Elder, and your parents will write to you.'" Then he asked, "Do you remember that promise, Elder Monson?" I remembered all right. I inquired, "Have you heard from your parents?" He reached into his pocket and took out a sheaf of letters with an elastic band around them, took a letter from the top of the stack and said, "Have I heard from my parents? Listen to this letter from my mother. 'Son, we so much enjoy your letters. We're proud of you, our missionary. Guess what? Dad has been ordained a priest. He's preparing to baptize me. I'm meeting with the missionaries. And 1 year from now, we want to come to California as you complete your mission. For we with you would like to become a forever family by entering the temple of the Lord." Then the young man put his hand in mine and asked, "Brother Monson, does Heavenly Father always answer prayers and fulfill apostles' promises?" I replied, "When one has faith as you have demonstrated, our Heavenly Father hears such prayers and answers in his own way. Clean hands, a pure heart, and a willing mind had touched heaven. A blessing heaven sent had answered the fervent prayer of a missionary's humble heart."
The scriptures teach that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 5, verse 16. The Lord has blessings prepared for all of us, and sometimes He is only waiting for us to ask. Prayer is a chance for us to show Heavenly Father how much He means to us. By praying regularly and with faith in our hearts, we are showing Him how much we love Him. When we pray sincerely, we can have faith that He will answer us and that He will bless us according to His great love and wisdom. Carry a prayer in your heart today. Go to MormonChannel.org to download other great episodes of Stories from General Conference on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.